first thing that we have to understand is that we are not waiting for the arrival of the Imam only. We are actually preparing ourselves for life under the Imam. There's a big difference. I think sometimes we are looking and we are waiting for the big bang of the zuhud of the Imam. And we fail to realize, or maybe, you know, maybe I do, that there's going to be an entire hukumat and government led by him for several years after this arrival. And life under that government will look like nothing that we have seen before. And part of it is the fact that he will once again revive, through the beautiful teachings of humanity and justice, once again revive the idea of the collective nature of the human being and remind us through actions and through principles and through morals and values that we actually are one ummatun wahida, as the Quran says. We're one nation. Now let me share with you the very beautiful hadith from our fifth Imam. It really is a profound one, and that kind of gives a sneak peek, a little bit of a preview of what life will be like under the Imam. And it's something that we simply can't fathom today, and I'll discuss why that is. First, the hadith. The hadith says that when Al-Qa'im makes his advent, friendship and unity will be established to such a degree that a person will be able to put his hand in his brother in faith's pocket and take whatever he needs without his brother preventing him from doing so. Just imagine for a moment that you want something, you need something, and you know that the thing that you need is inside the pocket of the brother beside you. You try that today with your actual sibling, and it points to a reality today that is disturbing, and that is a fard girai, as they say, of individualism. The idea that we have lived this me-centric, me life, and we have now converted what should be a sense of tawheed inside of us, God consciousness inside of us, to now us making ourselves the biggest of all idols. As Rumi says, the mother of all idols is the self. Right? And so naturally, when we have made ourselves the object of our worship, the object of our praise, we put all of our effort in elevating this idol of the self, then the sheer thought of me belonging to a collective group, the sheer thought of me now moving together with another group of people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very foreign for me. And this wajibat of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar is a lost wajibat. We can see individuals now treading the path of their own self-destruction, but we don't have the culture today to say anything. Now our family life, our domestic life, we see a lot of our homes are burning, right? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusikum wa ahlikum naran, the Quran says. O you who believe, protect yourself and your ahl and your family from the fire, be it the fire in this world or the fire the next. Too many times we see 5-6 people under one roof, but they're 5 or 6 roommates, God forbid, traveling 5 or 6 different individual paths towards God or towards their own worship and their own beliefs. Like, we have so much to say about the Ummah at large, about Sunni and Shia issues, about the different paths of Shias. I'm saying that that's a monumental task. It's a huge task. Let's begin with our families, right? Think globally, act locally, as the saying says. And at least within my four walls, I can now create this little bit of a utopian, unified situation where now I'm exporting the idea of the belief in the collective nature of the deen to my kids, to my spouse. They now believe that there is strength in numbers. We can get there faster if we get there together. And you'll find that as you grow together as one family, you'll find that you will now begin to mesh together and mend together. And that's the essence of Tawheed, is the harmonizing of 5 to 6 different paths of life into one. In the process now, la ilaha, la ilaha, we reject all the small gods, including myself, and we move towards illallah.